I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tim Closer doesn't hold back on his assessment of Norwich's defensive performance.
I need to scream.
He also admits his time in Germany has helped him with his sense of humour.
If you know, I'm a funny guy, yeah.
Classic. Finally, Alex Neil tells us about Alex Tetti's condition.
Yeah, I was not well, so he's... sickness and diarrhea throughout the night.
Yeah, to be fair, there was unrelenting shit at the back during the day too. Anyway, more yellow and green than a lizard singing a Coldplay song. This is the Little Yellow Bird Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the 20th. Imagine that.
Oh, wow.
20th.
Double figures.
Little Yellow Bird Podcast. Thank you very much for listening, everyone, and thank you very much for saying nice things about our writing and being nice to us, because I am John Rogers, and with me I have Dan
Brigham. Oh, I got in there too early, didn't I?
You're always coming too early. That's always been your fault. That was a masturbation joke. Talking about masturbation, you need one more follower.
Darren Eady's going to be listening to this, probably.
Oh, that's true. Sorry. Because we've got Darren Eady on the phone later on.
Here you have.
The Darren Eady. Not some man called Darren Eady. An actual ex-footballer.
Are you sure?
That's the point, actually. Yeah. You only had four followers.
All right. Eek.
Oh, well, he'll be all right.
You sure it wasn't Daniel Eady?
I have got bad eyes. Mm. So, we had a little bit of an incident on Saturday.
A collective incident.
A collective incident of knob jockery,
yes.
I'm going to call it.
Mass bowel evacuation.
Yeah. We were 3-1.
Oh, you're talking about the football?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, what are you talking about?
Doesn't matter, move on.
Okay. I was watching the football and I was thinking, do you know what? I'm going to look at the Liverpool fans. So I stood up and I saw them stand there looking all sad.
Yeah.
And guess what happened?
You stuck your fingers up at them?
No, I didn't do anything like that.
Oh, right.
About 25 minutes later, they were having a riot.
They were having a great time.
Genuinely,
it looked like the most fun you could possibly have at a football match.
Exactly. So we'll talk about that a little later on. So things we've got coming up. We have Home and Away. We have your amazing tweets. We've got loads of tweets to go through.
Yeah, we've got your song tweets.
We've also got the Darren Eady talking to us. We've got a really good different-ish. No, it's not different at all. But we've got Dan versus John coming up. And we've also got Norwich Tonic.
Yes, we have.
So we've got lots to get through. So we'll start this right now with Home and Away.
Norwich City games at Carrow Road. And somewhere that's not Norwich. Home and Away.
So let's talk about the home game. I spoke a second ago about riots. Is there going to be a riot on the streets of Norwich soon?
No.
Will there be a riot on the streets of Ipswich soon?
I wouldn't have thought so, no.
So we're okay then, basically.
Yeah, I think
fine.
We're going to be okay.
What happened?
Well, there's an open question.
Well,
what happened?
First, let's talk about the very biggest. We had a little chat before the game.
Did we?
And you were sat in the Barclay, and I was sat in the Gerald. They were all jumping and cheering. You didn't like that. And I had a different person sitting next to me who was really Yorkshire, Northern, and negative.
Yeah.
In which is quite often most
my
Yorkshire.
Dad's from Yorkshire.
Is he negative?
No, he's not. No, he's quite positive.
Yeah, that Norfolk's quite sucked that
sparky.
Negative out of him.
Yeah,
but he wasn't a Norwich fan. He was talking about oh, who's that? He won't bloody control them. Oh, he's all over the place. He can't play football. It was talk about Wes Hoolahan, which I got really annoyed about. But
sounds like Mick McCarthy.
It was a little bit Mick McCarthy. Yeah. It wasn't Mick McCarthy. He looked at him. And I just sat there thinking, oh, this is going to be the best day ever at 3-1.
Right.
Because Naismith was unreal.
Yeah.
I thought
he was real, man. He was real.
He played unreal, man.
No, he played real.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, is that the term?
Yeah, he's now.
Yeah, he was ace. He was cow of Ungerish. Mm. And then, hell broke loose.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the first 60 minutes, because they were great. They were very good.
Yeah.
Do you remember that brilliant bit of defending? Genuine from Robbie Brady.
He's done that before. Yeah. He's done that a couple of times now.
Was that the door?
I don't know.
Was it the door?
Go see. I'm going to pause the podcast. I'll keep it going. Dan's got somebody at the door. He's saying he can't see anyone. He's opening the door. He's trying to open the door. Oh, there's someone. I'll pause it. Bye. Right, we're back.
We are back.
Who was it? Tell the truth.
It's Jake.
Jake.
Humphrey.
Jake Humphrey was at the door. He'd heard that Darren Eady was on the podcast.
And a bit jealous.
And he wanted a bit of fun too. Can you remember we did a hilarious joke of the first four or five podcasts?
About Jake Humphrey. People quite like those. We got feedback about those.
Did they?
Then we ran out of things to do with him.
We'll bring it back.
Yeah. It was funny how he turned up with a pizza.
I do like pizza. Mm. So, where were we?
We were talking the first 60 minutes. Oh, Robbie Brady doing a good tackle. That's where
we
were, weren't we?
That was it. Well done, I remembered.
That was a good bit of defending.
Yep.
Probably leave it at that.
Yeah.
It's a good, solid defensive display.
Well done.
Yeah.
Tick a box.
Who put the Robbie Brady thing? that tackle.
What?
Who put the ball through to him?
Bradley Johnson. Who put the ball
Was it a pass back? I can't remember now.
It was a pass back. No, it wasn't. They did a little breakaway again.
They just got through, rammed through
just
the middle.
What's wrong?
Rammed through the middle, nothing.
What'd you break for?
Nothing.
What happened?
I shouldn't have had that banter.
Oh, God. That's right, ladies and gentlemen.
Berkey Brigham's back. I'll try my best not to be. So then after that, we went 3-1 up, and that was good. Played some great attacking football. What did you think about...
The penalty was hilarious, I thought. I laughed. There's four or five of us all around where I sat laughing our asses off. Because the first one was a penalty.
Because I'm too short. I didn't see
it. Okay, the first one was live.
Then I saw it on Match of the Day afterwards. And it was
And then
crazy.
The second time, he just kicked him.
You've got to... No one's mentioned it, but surely that's a sending off, isn't it? It's kind of like a slowed down version of what Stephen Naismith, what Gary O'Neill did to the Stoke player. He kicked him, shoved him in the back. Maybe not. Did he get booked? I can't remember if he got booked.
No, he didn't. There was only one booking in the thing. There was no booking to the whole game.
Naismith
yes, there is the
penalty,
one booking because Lallana took his shirt off and he scored the fifth goal and we lost.
Naismith should have had a penalty as well.
In the first half, definitely. It was right. Oh, I'm getting angry now. But it was right in front of us, and Lee Mason was laughing. Going, no, that's just stupid. It's not a foul. What do you mean it wasn't a foul?
He's just come into the back of him.
Yeah, it didn't
shoved him over.
Yeah, in the penalty slow box. Motion. Yeah, in the penalty box.
How on earth is that not a foul?
Well,
I can't. We'd have won if it wasn't a foul. We'd have been 4-1.
Can I just say, ladies and gentlemen?
Did I just say the C word?
You did.
Oh, no.
That Dan said it first this time. Okay,
that's the first time I've said it on this podcast.
I hope your dad's not listening. So get off my back, people, because Dan's the C word now.
Oh, no, that's terrible. Anyway, so where did it all go wrong, John? No, first off, let's be positive.
I know where it went wrong. I'm going to say right now where it went wrong. When we went 3-1 up, someone should have grabbed everyone by the testicles and said, this is what we're going to do, and just controlled the game.
Need 10 arms for that.
Yeah, but who hasn't got 10 arms?
No, you're right there.
Exactly.
You stumped me.
So get behind the ball. Don't let people have a free shot on the penalty spot.
That was appalling, wasn't it? It's a mixture of things. When the lineup was announced, quite a lot of people did say, "Well, that's leaving us. That looks because Tetti is ill. That's leaving us wide open through the middle with Housen and Dorrance."
That's probably not a good word to use, actually. Yeah. Tetti was ill, wide open.
And that came true, didn't it?
But no, I disagree.
Why?
Because we were 3-1 up.
Yeah. But we lost 5-4.
Yeah, but the other river.
And nearly every goal was because someone in the middle lost their marker.
But that's the problem. That we should have just dropped. We could have put like 8-9 men behind the ball for 10 minutes just to kill the game. Because the fans were dead. They weren't moving. They wouldn't even look moving the head. They weren't even engaging with us. The players were done.
No, I don't agree.
I do.
Because at 3-1, they pulled 3-1. Yeah, 3-2.
Yeah.
Because they pulled a goal back so quickly.
Yeah, don't let them have an opportunity to do that.
Well, of course, but, you know, about 3-2.
What do you mean you disagree? That's my point.
No, the point is that 3-2, we shouldn't have dropped. What we did was drop back and stopped playing how we had been playing. We stopped sort of passing the ball forward. We went into our shell. The passing went to shit. Suddenly the panic set in and we stopped actually pushing them higher up the pitch. And they gradually pushed us back and back. What we should have done is just carried on playing our natural game.
That's not true. The third goal, we had pushed up. They got in behind us. Because we'd gone too far forward. And there was three against one on the left-hand side. So Bessong and Martin had to come across. Well, Martin was running very slow for some reason.
Yeah.
And they came across, and that's why there was so much space in the middle, because we'd push forward.
Yeah, no, that's true.
I just think we should have, for the 10 minutes...
But no, the problem with that, though, Bessong and Martin had all pushed forward as well.
We were playing too far forward. I think if we'd have held back for 10 minutes just to keep it 3-1 until it was the 75th minute or something, they would have been pushing too many forward and we could hit them on the break. That's what Alex Neil wanted to do. I think he said that in his pre-match. But the idea at half-time, hold back, don't push too far forward, and when we have an opportunity, go for it.
Which is essentially what we did at Middlesbrough at Wembley.
Yeah, and 2-0 up and then Sunderland a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah,
just so annoying. That was the greatest opportunity to get 3 points against Liverpool.
To be fair.
Don't be fair.
Klopp's Liverpool have put 6 past Southampton, have put 4 past Man City and 3 past Chelsea and Arsenal. So when they're on, you know, we help them out massively. But that, although they've got no recognised striker, their attacking potential is...
Of course,
pretty
yeah.
fluid, I mean, and pretty big.
They brought Benteke on and they brought Lallana on. Yeah. I mean, that's
Lallana turned the game. Really,
exactly. The depth that they got was fair enough. But I understand that. But being 3-1 up at 60 minutes at home and conceding instantly, twice nearly, that was the most frustrating thing. The back pass that Martin did, I've got no issues with that. That's a human error and a mistake that people do.
Well, the weird thing about the back pass, though, is even if Firmino hadn't been there... No, it wasn't Firmino.
Milner.
Milner hadn't been there. Where's that ball going to? Yeah, it's not reaching the keeper.
From the halfway line.
It's not reached anywhere near Rudd.
No.
So what, I don't quite understand. A, you can understand a mind belch where you've passed back to the keeper, but there's a player there. But then to a double mind belch is that you've passed it back and not even got anywhere near to the keeper. That was weird.
Can you not use the word mind belch ever again?
Mind burp.
Belch.
That was odd.
There was two things. There's two little things, simple things they had to do. Is that Russell Martin had that opportunity, hold on to the ball, get, you know, if he has to get his push back, go with it, because he was the last player. I mean, Milner was closed off that thing. He just knocked it out of play.
Yeah.
Or put his foot through it. And then the second thing is Brady on the last minute wanting his head out for a corner.
Yeah.
And instead we all defend as a
unit.
I mean,
he clearly thinks he can get enough power on it, but he's off balance.
Clearly not.
He's off balance. His head was, the angle was the wrong way.
They're basics. They're two real basic things that I know, and I'm a shit footballer, and I know they're basic. If you're in trouble, put it out. Clear the ball.
And also, Dorans and Redmond shouldn't have let the runners as well.
And people have not mentioned this, but at least everyone's after Russell Martin. I understand that what a poor game he had. However, I thought Nathan Redmond was even worse.
Redmond was relatively bright going forward occasionally, but he was. Yeah,
he was, he though.
Yeah, I thought he was on it.
He wasn't involved in any of the goals. He wasn't involved in it. He didn't create any chances.
No, but he was running beyond Mbeki, which we haven't seen from Redmond for a while. Running actually beyond the striker.
I don't recall that.
But he should have tracked back more. He gave Pinto on his debut no help whatsoever.
Yeah.
It was, yeah.
Pinto looked more dangerous than... Okay, I remember that there was a couple of times when Redmond got the ball and he was... What's wrong? I think that one. Was causing problems in the far end of the pitch.
Yeah.
I can remember that now, but the second half he was non-existent.
Well, no, and that's as I wrote on our little things we sort of learned, it was right to take him off because he started giving the ball away, Redmond.
Yeah.
Whereas it was... And it was right to take Naismith off because he looked knackered. But it did seem odd taking Wes off because he was hugely influential and had linked well with Mbakani and still looked like he was fully running as well. That was odd.
And that arsehole who sat next to me called him lazy.
What, Wes?
Well, yeah.
I mean, that someone said that.
Oh, he's not lazy.
He's not been helping Brady yet. He was tracking back a lot, Wes was. Yeah. People have it sort of in their mind that Wes doesn't work hard because he's a little bit lightweight. But he runs his ass off. Little fucking legs off, he does.
He does every game.
Yeah. And he tracked back perfectly well and helped Brady out. But so, anyway, the big question.
Yes, the big question is.
Russell Martin.
Oh.
Should he have played? Should he have started?
Well, there have been rumours about... I don't know if this is true, but...
I'm probably disappointed you with that big question.
Yeah,
it's
Ryan...
about life in the universe.
I know,
I
thought it was going to be big. I thought you were going to ask me to marry you again. I think that Ryan Bennett was at some sort of birth.
Right.
Maybe not his.
Okay.
But I don't know what I'm talking about.
No.
But you know, he was at, I think apparently his girlfriend was...
Well, yeah, and you were expecting him to fly into Carrow Road and parachute out and score the equaliser.
Babies cause issues during Liverpool, obviously. But I don't know if that's true. That's just a rumour that's going around. Yeah. I apologise if it's not true. But for him not to be in the starting 18, is it now? 19, whatever it is.
In the squad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this me or you? Yes, you.
No. Anyway.
Sorry. And that's really annoying, isn't it?
Mm.
It is you.
It's not me.
Put it next to the microphone. That's okay. Is a bizarre.
Is think it, he's though? Been, because you're not going to have two central defenders on the bench, so someone's going to miss out if you have closer on the bench.
Yeah, but Martin should have been.
Yeah, I mean, I think Bennett would have been equally as shit, to be honest, against, because he's always been culpable against nippy little strikers like Firmino. He's always been caught out of possession with them. He's great against sort of big physical presence. people who are, you know, dominating the air, he's good against those.
Anderson last dance, ditch
attaching.
Way.
I did, yeah. I did a little chicken dance for physical. And he's always been crap against that. And I could see the logic behind Russell Martin playing. But what it really emphasises is the catastrophe, in football terms, of us not buying defenders in the summer. That's what it underlines. Because what you're choosing between Bennett, who's shit against quick strikers, nippy strikers, or Russell Martin, who's shit against all strikers, pretty much.
Well, what? Leicester, for example, top of the league. And there's Alex and Neil has admitted they've got two slow, lumbering centre-backs.
Yeah. Well, slow at least. I mean, call
them
lumbering
a bit. So
why can't
we do the same? Why can't we have slow, lumbering and do the same as
them? Because we haven't got the pace Leicester have up front. They sit back, to sit by the halfway line and hit teams with their pace. And we've not really got that pace.
Mm.
So we can't sit back and hope to really kill people on the counter-attack. So you can occasionally, but not as a sort of plan A.
So what? Where but we any, go,
sorry,
I wanted to. Where do we go from here? What do you think will happen? Who is going to drop out? I don't.
Russell
think,
Martin. Will
I think back. Russell Martin will be seen for a while.
He must be shot.
Have you noticed
every
something?
Time he gets the ball, everyone in the crowd is just oh fuck. I mean, it breeds uncertainty.
Have you noticed something?
That's annoying.
I don't think it's me. Sorry, the phone keep going. Wee, 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 wee. I don't think. I think that...
you do or don't think, John?
I don't know what I'm thinking at. Your phone just pissed me off.
Okay, I think it's your phone.
I don't think it is.
Doesn't matter, it's boring to the listeners.
I believe that there might be something happening with Russell Martin at the moment. Because he's captain.
Yeah.
The last time he spoke to the press was Manchester United. He hasn't been seen since...
Is that right? I couldn't say if that's...
It is, yeah.
Trying to think.
Looked out for it. He hasn't been...
So what, we've played Villa, Southampton, Tottenham, Cup game. So we played sort of five games. Five games since then.
More than that, isn't it?
Don't think so. Villa, Southampton, Spurs, Man City. Oh yeah, Bournemouth, Stoke. Yeah, so sort of seven games now.
Yeah. Christ. As a captain, that's a long time, isn't
it? Yeah.
You know he's got an illness.
I didn't know that, no.
Didn't you?
No.
He's got, like, colitis.
Oh, yes, of course, yeah.
So I wonder if that's kind of flared up again.
We have no idea.
I know, so I'm just saying. Yeah. He looked pale and he looked distraught.
That's the same thing
Absolutely distraught
that
after doing that.
Well, you would, wouldn't you?
Of course, yeah. But I just, we're fucking useless. That, I don't mind that thing. I've written about it. You'll see
right.
it when you read it.
Yeah.
And I've got
On the Little Yellow Bird Project tomorrow.
Coming soon. I've got no problem with him, well, I have got a problem, but I'm not angry about him doing that back pass because it was a mistake. Like, everyone makes mistakes.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
But the biggest thing that I wanted him to do is to grab everyone by the scruff of the neck and say, this is what we're doing. We're keeping a clean sheet from now on. We are not going to let people get by. And with that, 4 goals in 20 minutes.
There's always a sense with Russell Martin, he starts a lot of games because he's an on-field communicator and leader. And Alex Neil's spoken a lot about players not being leaders on the pitch. And Russell Martin is supposed to be one of those. And I mean, he was distraught after that, naturally, but there was no sense that he sort of got them back in. He had Besson going up to him and almost giving him a little hug when Norwich kicked off again.
He didn't look himself.
No.
But the other interesting thing is that Naismith brought up in his post comments about the lack of communication in the team. Now, he's come from a Premiership side. He's been in the Premiership side for whatever, 6-7 years, whatever he's been in. So obviously he's used to seeing professional footballers do what they should be doing in them situations, and obviously we're not doing that, and that's Russell Martin's job. That's the one thing that I don't think you can let go.
No, and that may be the difference between turning this side into a Premier League side that's going to stay there and one that's battling relegation. Is they've all got the talent, most of them have anyway, certainly midfield onwards, you know, but do they have that extra, which is a bit of on pitch leadership? And by leadership, we don't mean just like getting all passionate, it's just directing each other, you know, and that's vital, and that's what the best
players
do. Reminding
people of their jobs.
Yeah.
Get Nathan Redmond to drop back.
Yeah.
Get Dorans and Howson just to hold back for 5-10 minutes. Just kill the game.
Because Alex Neilcourt spoke about people always looking to him, don't they, to sort of on pitch guidance. And you're right, though, Naismith may well provide that. And a lot of people already said he could be captaincy material. What's Renner?
Nothing.
Oh, right.
You're just really loud.
We've ranted on about this a lot, haven't we, really?
Yeah, okay. I think we should move on.
In the end, we've scored 4 goals at home. We've lost by 1 goal to Liverpool. It's awful that we... The worst thing, I mean, injury time, I left shell-shocked. I struggled to remember a game where I walked around.
I texted you, didn't I?
Yeah, I've gone.
I was supposed to meet up. Yeah. Gone home. I was so... Yeah. It's like I've been spat in the face by a model. And then she actually went, actually, I've changed her mind.
Yeah.
And I kissed her and she had a penis. That's what it felt like the last 5 minutes of the game.
Yeah, I walked around just in shock and everyone was in shock. But I think the worst bit was letting the 3-1 lead slip, which is, but in the end, we've lost at home to Liverpool, who are an average Liverpool side, but they have, you know, got good results this season. It could have been worse. We could have been thumped 7-0.
I know how to end this with what my mum said.
Oh, yeah?
She went... Oh, it sounded a good game.
That's exactly what my girlfriend said. Oh, there were a lot of goals, though, weren't there?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, no, that's accurate.
Yeah. It's like, this is what it was. The only way I could explain it to her, it's like, you know, you watch like a series, like Breaking Bad. You went through the whole of Breaking Bad, and the last scene was...
No spoilers.
Oh, wait, the last scene was, oh, it was all just a dream. That's what it was fucking felt like. Right, let's move on, because we've had enough time. Christ, what should we do now? Should we do some tweety tweets?
Yeah, top 10 tweets.
Top 10. So we had thousands, because people were angry. There is one that you didn't put in, but I'm going to say it now. I really like this one, but you didn't put in, because you're in charge. I don't mind that. I saw
anyway, this is
5 will make us go down.
Yeah, we asked if Norwich's defeat was a song, which song would it be?
Yeah, 5 will make you go down. Yeah, Norwich.
That's good. I missed that.
Yeah,
that one. We did get so
I'm
many.
I'm sorry,
though.
I didn't know who that is, but who did that? Well done, thank you.
We not got a jingle?
Not for tweets.
Oh, no, we don't, do we?
Yes, we do. I'll press the button. Ready?
So
number 10.
But no, not number 10. Before we start, a few people got really quite depressed.
Okay.
This includes Ben Stokes at Robot Canary, who went for I Hate Myself and Want to Die by Nirvana.
I thought I was just sending that to you.
No. Which, did they ever release that as a song? I don't know. It's supposed to be.
Has he tweeted again?
He's not tweeted again. And Zayo L.
So he's dead, you're saying?
At Zippers Elf went for the theme tune to MASH, which I believe is Suicide is Painless.
It is.
So cheer up, lads.
Yeah.
And girls as well, anyone listening. It's just a football match.
Exactly.
It's horrible. We were first on Match of the Day.
Yeah. No, well, at least you're first on Match of the Day. Shut up! I don't...
And we scored a good set of goals. We saw every time.
We had a penalty, but we had a penalty
for a
while.
Have a penalty.
It was a shit penalty from Wiz.
Coolly taken.
It was inches from his knee.
Coolly taken. It's always inches from Wiz's knee. Right, number 10.
Darren Eady in 30 minutes.
Has he just texted or something?
No, I'm just saying.
Number 10, Vastas Canary.
Not 30 minutes in this podcast.
Bastardous Canary at Big Dollar Rich.
Is it number 10?
Number 10. The theme from the Benny Hill Show, which I think pretty much sums up the entire 90 minutes of hell. Micah Hanlon comes in at number 9.
He's number 9.
At Hooli Fan.
Nice.
He goes, "We all live in a yellow submarine, which describes our direction of travel, but it will give us the means of survival."
Jesus.
There's a lot.
And it's by a Liverpool band, The Beatles.
The who?
The Beatles. No, The Beatles.
At number 8, Dean Padre Simmer at Mojo Dean says, "I hate myself for loving you."
Again, Norwich. Was that a tweet for us? Or just
yeah, that's nothing to do with Norwich. That, right. that was a DM to me, actually. John Punt at John fucking at Puntino. "Hold me, thrill me, kiss me, kill me" by U2, which sums up the range of emotions that went through over the 90 minutes.
Do you know the really, really weirdest thing? I looked for that song today. I had no idea who tweeted that. I looked for that song.
That's not that weird. If it was like a Half Man, Half Biscuit song, it might have been weird. Actually, I've gone to go. When I started doing this, I thought I'd never let a U2 song in. And I just realised.
Oh,
no,
U2 are good.
Number 6, Richard at Twitcher. "Suicide Blonde" by NXS. "Suicide Blonde Moment," he says, which is the Russell Martin moment. Pass back.
Not having that.
Sexist as well, actually, Twitchit.
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
You love sex as well, don't you?
Number 4. What the fuck was that? Number 5.
Can't say hit at the F word and the C word now.
Only in response to your odd comment.
Did you say sexy or sexist?
Sexist.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, right. Number 5, Matthew at Matthew Matthew CR. I wonder if that's car road. David Bowie's "Always Crashing in the Same Car," which is same defensive errors over and over again, yeah. I assume.
Oh, that's quite good because it's a little bit different.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's about Bowie.
Number 4, Richard Freezer at Cheriton Vegas. "To Marvin Gaye and Get It On, it's Tim Closer, Just Get Him On." Quite good.
Because
we want him on the pitch.
Tim Closer and Get Him On doesn't go.
Yeah. Just Get Him On. It's Tim Closer. It doesn't work. Doesn't sound quite right.
Yeah, it's not as easy.
That's why it's not number 1. Number 3, Darren Wiseman at Dazza MJL.
Nice.
"What becomes of the broken glasses?" Because Klopp broke his glasses.
Good.
So that's a change of pace.
Good.
Obviously, "What became of the brokenhearted?" Which is us after that game.
I hope he had glass in his eyeball.
Klopp?
Yeah.
Well, come on now. Take that back.
No.
Glass in his eyeball?
Yes.
Wow. I'll give you 2 seconds to take that back. Number 2, Bring It On Dan at DK_NCFC. In reference to our defence, "All the Wrong Dudes" by Klopp the Hoople.
Oh.
Very good, Dan. I don't know why I didn't put that number 1, actually.
What's number 1?
Number 1, John Knight at John M. Knight. John without an H.
Oh, I
like your
him.
Good self. 93rd minute, Bonnie Tyler, "I Need a Hero." 95th minute, Bonnie Tyler, "Total Eclipse of the Heart." So he's gone for 2 songs there.
But that's rubbish compared to number 1. Number 2, I mean.
No, I don't think so. He's got 2 songs.
It's very good. I'm joking.
Yeah. So well done, John Knight. I'm not sure we've had him in top 10 before, have we?
Yeah, we had him number 1 before. Yeah. And that was one of my first singles I bought.
"Total Eclipse of the Heart."
Yeah.
Mine was, we've been through this.
I know, I'm saying it's one of them. It wasn't the one, it was one of them.
Bananarama.
That was good.
Yeah.
Well done,
Thank
everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
We had lows, didn't we?
We had about 60.
Did we?
Yeah.
None better than that, to be honest.
Some of them are really poor.
Were they?
Really
name poor. A poor one.
"Heaven Knows I'm Miserable Now." That comes out every time we lose. Please stop sending "Heaven Knows I'm Miserable Now."
Bow.
So should we move on?
Let's move on. Because
should we talk to Darren Eady?
We could do.
Yes. I mean, we haven't talked to him yet.
Darren, are you here? Darren, are you coming through? Darren? He's not even rang yet. I was playing.
But we can add him in, can't we?
We can. So we'll
but if he doesn't answer, then...
Oh, I've got a jingle as well.
You've got a new jingle.
Should I play it? Okay, this is the new jingle, okay? If you don't like this, there's something bloody wrong with you.
It is nearly time for an ex-canary.
Ex-canary.
I am really looking forward to his stories.
Ex-canary. Ex-canary.
Who's it gonna be? Go!
Hello. So we have Darren with us, the Darren Eady. How are you, Darren?
I'm very well. I like the Darren Eady. I quite like that.
The That's Darren Eady. We'll call you that from now on.
The one and only?
The one and only. Is that too much?
I'd hope so. Yeah, I hope it's the only one of me, yeah.
So, interestingly, we found out a little.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A while ago that, on actually, no, we didn't. We knew this because we're very professional, that you have been involved with a 5-4 yourself and against Southampton.
Yeah.
And also, did you know, after 55 minutes, it was 3-1 to Norwich?
I know, spooky, isn't it? It's almost spooky. I had tried to erase that from my memory.
But unfortunately, the game on Saturday
brought it all back, brought it flooding back. It was bizarre, to say the least. And all I can say is on that day, though, I mean, to be fair, that's probably the worst Liverpool team I think I've ever seen. You know, they still got some decent players in there, but the Southampton team we lost to that day, I have to say, Matt Letizia was just unplayable.
You think
he scored a hat trick? So yeah, he was outstanding. So you know, it was something that I don't remember very fondly. But the fact that I got to see him play so well actually was probably every cloud's got a silver lining.
Although to be fair, I've just noticed that you were substituted in the 67th minute while Norwich was still winning. So
exactly. Exactly, don't want to blow my own trumpet, but clearly we would have gone on to win the game probably by more if they hadn't taken me off. You know, that was clearly the mistake they made.
Double figures.
So
exactly.
You were at the game, weren't you? You were doing some work from BT Sport.
Yeah, I was.
It was just astonishing. We talked about it earlier on. We can't get our head around it. What on earth happened? What can you do in that situation? When Norwich went 3-1 up, what should they have done, would you say?
Well, it's the actual game itself is one of kind. To me, it's one of those once in a generation games that just happens. So it's kind of a freakish game that pops up every now and again. I thought Norwich were in complete control. 3-1 played very, very well. I was really impressed with the new signings. Hopkinson did well, and particularly Naismith, I thought was outstanding. So I guess at that point you just kind of be a bit more professional and try and kind of shut up shop. And it sounds like an easy thing to say. But when you're leading 3-1 against a Liverpool team that's probably, as I said, not the best we've ever seen, you expect to be able to see the game out, but you can't account for the kind of defensive errors that occurred. Just individual mistakes. Surely it wasn't Liverpool's brilliance. It was just individual mistakes that let them back into the game. I think if Henderson hadn't scored literally just after, I think we'd have gone on to win the game. I've no doubt about that. Yeah. But I think that kind of knocked everybody's confidence and thought, oh, this game isn't over yet. And they kind of, you know, got their tails up and they felt they could get back into the game. And then the rest was just absolutely bonkers.
And that's at 3-3, when you're on the pitch, are you looking around for sort of leaders in your team to sort of start directing proceedings? Or how do you sort of stem the flow of Liverpool's attacks at that sort of stage?
I think it's every man for himself. I think you have to stand up and be counted yourself and do your job on the pitch. I think that's the important part. You know, the manager could put the group of players out and you could see Alex Neil on the sidelines going bonkers, you know, trying to make sure he's got everybody right, trying to get the back in the right positions. But it's odd because when things like that happen, you kind of lose all sense of, you know, not your confidence, but you lose all sense of rationality. You kind of, the things you'd normally do quite comfortably.
Yeah.
Become a little bit more difficult and you start to think about it a little bit too much. And I think that's kind of what happened. I think the way Henderson scored, I think they got into the Norwich players' heads and I think they didn't deal with it too well. And as I say, it's just one of those freak things, you know, everything they hit seemed to go in. Up until the 3-1, I said Norwich were absolutely dominant. I thought they were great.
Thinking about it, I can't remember either goalkeeper making a save the whole game.
No, it was up until that point. As I said, there was never any danger of nothing of Norwich losing the game. I don't think I've ever felt so comfortable at Carrow Road at 3-1.
Yeah,
it was just bizarre. And I don't think, you know, anybody you speak to can really put their put their finger on why it went the way it did. Individual errors, of course, we see that, but you know, you can't proportion blame to one person for the mistakes that happened. And even Brady at the end with the header he puts across goal. I think it's just desperation. He's not meant to do that. He's just trying to make sure he gets something on it because it's near the end of the game. Get something on it to try and get it away. And it, unfortunately, goes back across goal.
It could have gone anywhere as well, couldn't it?
It could have gone absolutely anywhere. But, you know, like as much as you could say the Liverpool defending was poor when it fell to Basson and he smashed it in the back of the net, a similar thing happened to Brady at the other end with Lallana, who smashes it to the ground, mishits it, and bounces up into the top corner. It's just, you know, you can't account for those types of things.
And what sort of effect does a sort of losing an injury time like that have on morale, do you think? Do you remember sort of back to that 5-4 game against Southampton? How do you recover from something like that?
Yeah, well, I could imagine in the changing rooms it was pretty morgish, I would have thought, afterwards. It's one of those things that kind of happens where you just literally, nothing needs to be said. You go in and then probably just slump in their kind of corners next to their changing areas, and just nothing gets said. I'd imagine they were devastated from being the fact that they were so dominant. I mean, what can a manager say when actually they're 3-1 up and look like they're cruising the game to end up losing 5-4, apart from the obvious things of the individual mistakes? And that's no time really to dig anyone out, because, you know, nobody means to make those mistakes. It's just sometimes happens. And unfortunately, they kind of all happen at once, and circumstances worked out that it was always going to be Liverpool's day. It was just bizarre. I mean, but yeah, the changing rooms would have been a very, very quiet place, I'm sure.
Just to sum it up, it was a fucking disaster. That's the best way of doing it.
So, very eloquently put.
Exactly.
It was a bit of a disaster.
Me and Dan say we weren't going to say this, but we're going to do anyway, because me and Dan, when we were little, our favourite player was the Darren Eady.
Now, right, okay. Did you say this to all your guests?
Yes. Actually, you're our first ever ex-Canary. First ever.
I feel honoured.
You should be. So, I'm joking. We're going to say something fanboyish. Go on, you go. You say something, Dan, quick, because I'm embarrassed now.
Oh, I don't know. When I was little, I'm right-footed, but I used to try and play left-footed in the back garden because you were left-footed.
And I've told you this before as well, Darren, that I had a little bracelet around my, just to be like you, and put white tape around my socks.
You're still there, Darren? You're still there?
Yeah. See, always learning. But there you are. I used to play in the garden and try and use my right foot, but gave up after a while because it's rubbish. So I just stuck with the left.
Let me ask you about that. That white tape you used to put around your socks.
Yeah.
Did you do it on purpose? Did you need it? Or did it just look cool?
No, I used to hold the shin pads up because they were the ones that didn't have any ankle bits on. So they would slide up and down. So what I'd do, I'd obviously then hold them up a bit higher up on my shins with the tape. Plus, it did look quite cool, didn't it?
It did look quite cool. Yeah. I did it on purpose. I got some gaffer. I will say, the one though, I put some like gaffer tape around. What's it called? Okay, yeah, gaffer tape around it. A bit too tight. I lost feeling in my feet.
That's a mistake a lot of people make. You tend to use that... what's it, the electrical tape?
Yeah,
sometimes that can do the same thing. You do that a bit tight and it becomes, restrictive, and you lose the feeling in your foot.
Never mind. Well, there you are then. We'll let you go, Darren. Thank you very, very much for being on the first ever ex-Canary. We've got Mark Walton on next week. Do you remember Mark Walton?
Oh, what a great lad. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I wouldn't say anything too rude about him. He's a big fella. I mean, big fella.
Have you got anything we could ask him,
Whoa, you're talking about big fella here. What do you mean by big fella?
Well, you see, he's always the longest in the shower.
Okay, fair enough. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's a great guy. Absolutely lovely bloke. Couldn't say a bad word about him. He's a funny, funny man as well. So, okay, you'll have a good fun with him.
That's quite a lot of pressure on him now, isn't it?
He sounds like the ideal man.
he's a good chap. Send him my regards.
I will do. Thank you very much, Darren.
My pleasure.
Cheers. Bye.
Bye.
Cheers, chaps.
There we go. Darren, he was so funny. Oh, I liked the bit when he said that thing.
Yeah, that made me laugh a lot, didn't it? That was good. Thanks very much for Darren Eady coming on.
Coming on. He is coming on, isn't he?
It's a big honour, because we didn't tell him this. We might have done. We haven't done the interview.
But I told him.
He's both of our Norwich City heroes,
isn't he? One of them. Yeah. I had three.
Really? Mm-hmm. Who was he competing with?
Have you read my book? You'd have read the book. You'd have known who my three were.
Butterworth?
No. Well, and he was... I didn't want to be him.
Just liked him. Butterworth.
It's got to be three people. Chris Sutton, Darren Eady and Ian Crook.
Yeah.
A chain-smoking, small England B international. So
thanks very much to Mr. Eady for coming on there.
I'm a little bit of a man crush. Anyway, let's carry on before he arrests us. Not arrest us, he gets someone to arrest us.
What's next, John?
So this is going to be a thing we like to call Dan versus John. Who cares? Okay, so this week we could do something we're not different. I'm going to whip through this Dan versus John shit like nobody's business.
Yeah,
by playing percentage or not percentage.
Okay.
So,
well, you've definitely nailed the question or the title.
Yeah. I need it's kind of like, what's that Bruce Forsyth?
What's your favorite percentage?
62%.
Why?
It just sounds nice.
What's your favorite numbers?
2.
Any particular reason?
Nope. So,
my favorite number is 99.94. Do you know why? It's a cricket question.
Oh god.
Do you know why?
No, I don't care.
It was Don Bradman's test batting average.
I'm edging that shit out. So
the next highest is 60.
You had an erection last week because you wrote a piece about Martin O'Neill and you had like, oh, Martin O'Neill did this. Oh, Martin O'Neill did this. So from Martin O'Neill, I'm going to give you a win percentage and you've got to go higher or lower with the next.
Okay, yeah, this sounds fun.
Yeah?
Brief, is it, hopefully?
Yeah.
Yep.
So, Martin O'Neill had 46%. The next manager was Gary Megson. Higher or lower?
Oh, we see what's happening.
You need to get 9 to
Gary
win.
Gary Megson, lower.
Correct, 15%.
15%?
15%. The next manager was Bruce Rioch. Higher
We're
or lower?
We're calling that podcast Gary Megson's 15%.
Okay.
Who, sorry?
Bruce Rioch.
Higher or lower than 15%?
Yep.
Higher.
Bruce Rioch? Correct.
Mm-hmm. 23%.
32%.
Okay.
The next one was Brian Hamilton. Higher or lower? Brian Hamilton. Because you have to remember when they were playing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Cause
that's what I'm trying to do with my
mind. There's a couple of trick questions. You know, I think you'll... Oh, all right. Go on. Brian Hamilton. Higher or lower than 32?
Higher.
Lower. Fuck. Wrong. He was 28%.
Close.
The next one was Nigel Worthington.
So lower or higher than...
28. And remember, he was in the Premiership and lost a lot of games.
Yes, he did. But he was in the Championship for a long time.
He was.
Ooh, dear. 28%.
28%.
I just made a disgusting noise there, didn't I?
Yep. Higher or lower?
Higher. Higher.
Sure?
Yes.
40%, correct.
Woohoo!
How many you got?
I don't know.
Oh. Let's count in.
You're the one. This is your job to count.
Two.
I've got one.
You're three.
Okay.
The next chap was who? Either Nigel Worthington.
Who came in after Nigel Worthington?
Peter Grant did.
Of course he did.
Peter Grant.
Lower.
Or lower. Correct. 33%.
That's higher than Brian Hamilton.
Yeah. Hmm. Interesting. The next individual was?
Well, are we talking caretakers?
No. Full times.
Okay, so Mr. Glenn Roeder.
Mr. Glenn Roeder, higher or lower than 33%?
See, when he came in, we did really well to start with, but then we did shit. So I reckon it's going to be really close for 33. I'm going to go lower.
Correct.
30%.
Ooh. Another one. And then after that, the full-time manager was?
Well, full-time,
yep.
I guess Brian Gunn.
Was Brian Gunn. Kicked a football,
yeah.
A sock at him. 30%, higher or lower?
Lost, and then we won. Then. Oof, how many games did we win under him? Literally, 4 out of about 12. So lower.
28%, correct. Mm-hmm. And now, his next manager was?
Paul Lambert.
Paul Lambert, higher or lower than 28%?
Well, higher.
Which is correct.
Yeah, 51.
49%.
Ooh, that's close.
49%.
Again.
Our next was?
Well, Chris Hughton.
Correct. And what is his? 29%.
But Chris Hughton? Have you just told me what he did?
I've just told you what
I'm going to go
did,
lower to that.
Which is correct. It was easy. You can go that way. And the next manager was?
Neil Adams.
basically, you've got to go all the way through, like higher or lower. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Which was 9. There was 10. So you allowed one mistake. You've had your one mistake. So you've got to get the rest of them correct.
Right, you've just added this
in.
Yeah,
I haven't. I was okay, saying, fine. I gave you 10. There
so
was
Neil
9.
Adams. And what was Hughton? So Hughton
was 29%.
Neil Adams.
And Neil Adams, higher or lower?
Higher.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Are you really sure?
Yeah. Yeah.
Correct.
I mean, decent. He would have been like 38 or something.
34%. Yeah. And finally, Alex Neil. He's had 50 games for us so far. How many of them has he won to win the jackpot of all 3 points?
Well, he won something like 19 games in the championship under him. He's 50 games. So that's already nearly that's higher than 34.
This should bring you level. How many games? You can tell me, and then you can work out what his win percentage is.
See, how many games have we won this season?
Not telling you. You can't look.
For 20... He's at 19 in this. And this is Cup and League as well, or just League?
I would believe it's both. Just games.
And what? Sorry, what was...
Neil Adams was 34%. That doesn't help at all.
No, 19.
Alex Neil.
I reckon it in the Championship would have been something like ridiculous, like 80%, 75-80%. But that well,
he's played.
Dropped.
Remember, he's played 50 games. How many?
Yeah.
Has he won?
He's won 19.
And what is his?
20. So that's 50 already. Yeah, higher.
Well, it's going to be higher. Yeah, because it's higher.
Right.
But what's the percentage?
I'm after the percentage.
Yeah, to win all three points.
Right.
So you've won the point. Well done.
Oh, to win all three. Sorry,
to
I've
win,
been thick.
To bring us level.
19.
This is tension. But I'm going to now.
25.
I need the. You want 25%? Is that what you're saying?
Well, 25 games, so 50%.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Is it your real answer?
Yeah.
You are so close to being correct, because you're not quite. Yeah, you're right.
Oh, really? 25%.
So you've brought yourself back level.
Ooh.
So Dan versus John has meaning again.
Cool. That was a good one, that.
Do you like that?
Rattled through quickly.
Yeah, exactly.
No dead.
So Gary Megson is the worst manager we've ever had.
In the Premier League era.
I can't say it. Statistically.
I know, not in the Premier League.
You can't say it.
Since Martin O'Neill stays.
No, forever.
Well,
ever,
yeah,
ever,
but
ever.
There's managers before Martin O'Neill.
Yeah,
have you got the ball there?
Yeah. No, right. Ever. He is officially the worst manager win rate.
And yet he's, until the last couple of seasons, 3 seasons, I think, been in management, hasn't
currently,
he?
Currently, Alex Neil is the modern day hero, but he's also drawing with George Swindlin and Norman Lowe.
Ah, Lowe. Yeah.
We had a manager called Cyril Spears.
Yeah, I know.
Which sounds like that bloke out of the Raccoons. Yeah. Doesn't it?
Glenn Roeder looked like the bloke out of the Raccoons.
And we also had a manager called Major Frank Buckley.
Major Frank Buckley?
Yeah, if he'd have fucking sorted things out, wouldn't he? He was in, that was in 1920.
Oh, right.
There's a picture of him with two little dogs.
Major Frank.
And he died in 1964.
I think his dogs were called Frank and Buckley.
I don't
Buckley.
Know why I'm laughing at a man died.
Frank and Buckley are good names for dogs.
Yeah, nice. There we go. That was good.
That's good.
Dan versus John. It's now level. What will happen next week? Find out this time-ish, roughly next week-ish.
Bye.
Not quite.
Oh, no, we're not going yet.
No.
I'm going to sneeze, though.
That was good, wasn't it? Well done for a sneeze. A
celebratory sneeze.
Well done. So.
Good question.
Yeah. I think we should do Norwich Tonic now. We've got a little bit to talk about.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Yeah, here we go.
We should rattle through it, though.
We will.
So we're cheering you up with...
Don't worry, because we're going to cheer you up with this.
That last game was pretty crappy, wasn't it? I would describe it as something chronic. But don't worry, because we're here for you. Because we're offering you right now a healthy drink of the Norwich City Tonic. Get it down, yeah. Yummy.
Yummy, yeah. So, we're going to talk about incredible debuts because Mr. Naismith came along and changed our ways.
He changed our world, man. He was real.
He was. Unreal. I don't know. That's a new catchphrase.
Yeah, real or unreal. That's Dan versus John next week.
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh, I'm doing that next week.
Right, put a blindfold on. Touch this. What's that? Is that real or unreal? Right, so... I don't think we should go Mark Robbins. That's a bit.
As great as it was.
Yes, yeah, it's a bit Wimbledon 85.
What?
Direct. So we are going to. What's wrong?
A bit direct.
Yeah.
Obvious, you mean?
Yeah. Like direct. Boom. Yeah, that's the first one you go to. He was a fantastic, obviously, one of the best debuts for a And he came on half time as well, didn't he?
He did.
So,
Can you think of a
debut of a player that came along? You went, oh, I'm not too sure. There's only woof, bang, wallop. What a player.
No.
We're supposed to be cheering people up.
Well, Darren Huckabee. I remember thinking.
His debut?
I don't remember his debut.
Well, that's just nonsense. Well, that's the whole point of the thing.
Good debuts. Good ones. Ricky Van Wolfswinkel.
But it's not a bad call.
I mean, he didn't fuck all, but he scored. Great header.
It's a fantastic goal. Lovely. It was.
Remember Stephen Whittaker? God. He put the ball in, didn't he? With his shot that turned into a cross.
Shot come cross. Yeah. I love when people write that.
Shot come cross. It's a place in North Norfolk, isn't it?
Come cross.
Did you say that?
Yeah, I know. I was trying to wiggle it around to make it a crush cum
shot.
You were
trying to wiggle it around.
we can't have Darren Huckabee. Oh, I've done it again.
Done it again.
Why do you know why? Because I wrote it down.
Darren Huckabee?
Yeah.
Instead of Darren Eady?
Yeah. We can't have Darren Eady come on this bloody podcast. They're saying cum shot and you're saying cunt. And I've said it now.
Settled for Darren Huckabee.
Huckabee.
Yeah.
Okay, go on.
Debut. Steve Bruce?
What was his debut?
He scored an own goal.
Did he?
Yeah, did you not know that?
Yeah,
he scored an own goal.
And we're talking about which cheer people up.
Yeah, but which goes to show, because we've put so much faith in Tim Closer being Franz Beckenbauer. If he's shit against Spurs, when inevitably he plays, just remember the Steve Bruce story. Scored an own goal and was a bit rubbish. And who was it who... Jonathan Woodgate, wasn't it, for Real Madrid, scored an own goal and got sent off within like 20 minutes of his Real Madrid debut. So things can
and
go
touched a lady's bottom accidentally.
That was a Dan's bottom. Oh. Things can go badly, and it doesn't mean he's a bad player.
Well, I did put that tweet out just before the game started, saying if whatever the Naismith and Pinto do today, man managed to judge them instantly and never change your mind, because that's what some people do. It's like wank around. Oh, yeah. Actually, I will say Pinto's first 2-3 touches were like. Oh,
bit nervy, weren't they?
Yeah, he tried to challenge someone and just got wiped out by their left back. I thought, oh my God, he's weaker than
he loved an overlap, did Pinto,
oh,
didn't
he? He goes for it, didn't he?
Overlap. He was quick. He put one awful cross in and one brilliant cross in.
Yeah. I liked him. I thought he was really...
Yeah. He left acres of space behind, but then...
But that's what Tetti would
out,
be.
Though.
That's
yes,
what
exactly.
That's what Tetti... Yeah. That's what Dorans and Housen didn't do.
Well, Housen did a bit. I thought Housen was a good game. Yeah, Dorans was lightweight in the middle, as he always is. But good for the first sort of 50 minutes in terms of neat passing. But then Liverpool stepped it up and he was overrun a bit in midfield. Anyway, cheering people up.
Oh, yeah.
that time when we were shit on Saturday?
Yeah. Do you know what mine is? Ready for this?
Yeah, go for it.
Darren Beckford.
We talked about this the other week, didn't we?
Did we?
Off air.
Okay.
Yeah.
Off air. he's got a hat trick.
Yeah, he did.
In a pre-season.
You were there, weren't you?
I was there. Yeah. He's got a hat trick. And he did like a little celebration with like a rolly, you know, like bowling, like 10-pin bowling. Did that, but then I put his finger up in the air on one knee. Like,
Then did he do a comedy kind of, I've forgotten to let go of the ball and it's gone over my shoulder and my arm's been twisted out?
No, I don't think he was doing a bowling. I just did like fucking have some of that finger.
Okay. Who used to do the celebration where he flings his sort of.
Again, if you read my book, you'd know.
Where he flings,
I talk about that.
Yeah.
He did on
Flings. It's Chris Sutton.
And Ralph Fox.
And Ralph Fox as well, yeah. They loved that celebration.
Leap Howard did a little bit as well.
Oh, no, we should save that for another tonic. Favourite goal celebration.
Yeah, that's a good point. There's only two anyway, so.
Yeah.
So what was yours? Mine was Darren Beckford. He scored a hat-trick at a pre-season friendly. Don't know who was against. Doesn't matter.
I don't really remember.
And then he just disappeared off the face. You carry on. I'm going to Google him.
No, I don't. I genuinely don't remember anyone who sort of...
You can't think of anyone having a good... Debut.
Sort of convinced me as, they're better than I thought they were going to be.
What about Michael Theodotoklikos?
No.
I like Darren Beckford. Look at his little face. He's all smiley. So this is what happened to after he left Norwich. Oldham, Hearts, Preston, Fulham, Walsall, Rushden & Diamonds, Southport, Total Network Solutions, which sounds like he was the vice president of
Total
sales.
Total Network Solutions?
But he
wasn't
that
Wales?
There's a proper football team.
Wales?
Then he went back into the league with Bury and then finished up with Bay Cup Borough. He scored 160 goals.
Good
no, he didn't. 106 goals. He scored 71 goals for Port Vale in 178 games. That's incredible.
That's good going, isn't it?
And then he came to Norwich and scored 13 and 50, which again is not that bad.
Yeah.
He admitted this is the actual thing. He later admitted that throughout his early career, his nerves caused him to vomit before games.
Is that right?
That's Darren Huckabee.
Zidane did that, didn't he? For France against England before he took a penalty in Euro 2004.
Yeah.
He had a little puke, didn't he?
Yeah. Actually, it's quite interesting now. I'm reading about this little Wikipedia page. He's very athletic, unbelievable spring, and could finish. He had a unique personality. If someone upset him off the pitch, then you knew it would have an effect on his performance.
What? Is this from Hello Magazine? Yeah. Very lifestyle-y. You know, Monty Panesar once shat himself on the cricket pitch.
Oh, fucking cricket again. You can't ask twice. One more, and that's it. I'm muting you. I can do it.
Right.
You're back on again.
A man pooped himself on a sports field. That's a good story.
Yeah, well done.
Do you like any sports other than
John
football?
Rudge said it was like throwing Blumunja a wall.
What was?
Darren
Monty Panesar's
Darren Beckford. Another Darren.
Do you like any sport other than football?
Yeah.
What?
Tennis.
Uh-huh.
Rugby. I like cricket.
You don't like rugby.
I do like cricket.
I watched the England-Australia game in the World Cup with you. And
yeah.
It was like you'd never watched rugby before.
I was excited and I was a little bit drunk.
You were a bit drunk.
Yeah. I like exciting football. I like important games, so I get really carried away.
You did get quite carried away. You were banging your pint glass on the table like a hooligan.
I was a hooligan.
Yeah. Anyway, should we move on?
Yeah. So there we go. Is anyone cheered up? Anybody cheered up? The highlight of his time in Norwich was a hat-trick against Everton, which he scored a hat-trick against another Liverpool side.
Yeah, on Saturday. Yeah.
Not playing for Network Total Solutions. No. It sounds like they're sponsored.
They're Welsh.
Sounds like we're sponsored by them. The Little Yellow Bird Project, sponsored by Network Total Solutions.
Oh, viva.
TMS.
So, right, should we...
Oh, that's who TMS are they? Total Net...
I think
TNS.
So.
Oh. See, I've learned something today. I never knew that.
I might be wrong.
You know when you see on TNS?
It doesn't matter. Let's move on.
That was quite interesting.
It's going to be really long, this.
So, this is the end. Let's move on to the end.
Yeah.
Well done, Dan.
Yeah.
We're going to say...
Is it the end? Have we not missed something?
Yep. I'll play the Will You Won't They Bend.
Oh, God, we did a poll.
Is that why you did it?
Yeah, we needed a poll, so I did a poll.
What do you mean? What's happened to these Will They Won't They things?
I can't bother with them anymore. I never really liked them.
Right, everyone, can you tweet us? If you like them, tweet us and say, I really like them. They're really funny. I like the ending. I used to like how it used to be.
Yeah. Or tell us
before Dan got lazy.
Yeah, lazy putting everything up on the website.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say that.
John's done a piece tomorrow, though, that you can read. If I got time to put it up tomorrow. But anyway.
You're going to read it before you put it up. You might hate it.
Yeah, no, I'm sure it'll be lovely. What's it about, Russell Martin?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right, anyway.
Basically, I sum up in one sentence, I think it's the end of Russell Martin.
As a man?
As a human.
Oh, drastic.
Yep.
But then you also said it was the end of Addis, didn't you?
I think it will be.
And he was on the bench.
So what? I mean, it's nothing. He's not ever going to come play again for us.
I can see your knee jerking from here.
That's not my knee.
Are we finished?
Yeah, sure that's it. Do you want to press the button then? So you can
God
have music. So you
well,
can
thanks
talk.
To Darren Eady for coming on.
Yeah, it was really good.
Thanks for everyone for listening.
Yeah.
Thanks for everyone who tweeted in with your tweets.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks for listening. We do appreciate
yeah,
it. We don't sit here just talking to like a couple of knobs like we normally do. And people say nice things to us.
Yeah.
Who would you give knob of the day to?
Knob of the day to anyone who started booing You'll Never Walk Alone.
Knob of the day. There we go.
Here we go. Including the dickhead on Wrath of the Barkley. Who
knob of the day. Yeah, you can't say that.
Yeah, I can.
Okay. Ready, I'll play the music then. Ready? This better be good.
Oh, it's not that good. It's just a poll, though. Thank you for all the 75 votes so far.
This means the end of the podcast. It's always very sad when we hear this music, isn't it?
Yeah. We'll be back next week, though.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
After
the Spurs game.
Spurs game. Oh, I'll be there and Dan will be there. So we can't do a podcast until about Wednesday.
About the day after, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway.
This is the poll.
So we asked, who would you rather see at centre-back against Spurs? Naismith's postal box.
What?
You know, the little box. Yeah,
I know.
Ed Balls, Closer's nose, or Housen's pigeon? Which order do you think they came in?
I voted for pigeon, by the way. By the way, you've only got 24 seconds left.
Okay, so in number four, Naismith's box with 1% of the vote.
Oh.
Disappointing. There's a big box. Could have got in the way. Second was Ed Balls with 19%.
He's got balls.
Third was Housen's pigeon, 33%.
Oh.
And the winner was Closer's nose with 47%.
You know why?
I imagine people were hoping his head and rest of body would be attached to his nose.
There we go. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
That's the third time I said that. That's the hat trick. Oh, good. I'll
ladies
never say it again.
And gentlemen.
I will take care. And remember, if you see it...
Touch it.
That's the ending. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, shit, I've got to press this button. Wait.
Touch it.
Wait.
Touch it.
Found it.
Mop of the day. Aviva. Aviva.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.